Welcome to the Nations Church Port Kennedy podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Amen. Well, hey, if you got your Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews 12, verses 28 to 29. Hebrews 12, verses 28 to 29. It says, "Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire." For our God is a consuming fire. Come on, why don't you close your eyes and we'll commit this morning to the Lord. Father, we count it such a privilege to be in your house this morning. Lord, we don't take it lightly. Lord, we thank you that we can gather around your word, Lord, and we just ask simply that we would leave here different. Lord, I pray that we would leave here different than when we walked in. Would you speak to us? Would you shape us? Would you mold us? Would you convict us? And Lord, we just give you this time in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Well, hey, if you're taking notes this morning, the title of my sermon is this: Consuming Fire. Consuming Fire. See, in the passage we just read in Hebrews 12, there's a phrase in it that I really believe is prophetic for the times that we're living in. And it says, our God is a consuming fire. Our God is a consuming fire. And the definition of consuming is this. When I looked it up, it says, completely filling one's mind or attention. Completely filling one's mind or attention. And I really feel in my heart, it's so important as Christians that we have an understanding of God's nature as a consuming fire, because what it does is it correctly orientates us. It orientates our mind and our heart to view God how he should be viewed. See, our God is not just a crutch to fall back on. Our God isn't just a last resort. Our God isn't just a helping hand in times of trouble. Our God is a powerful, holy God who desires to be Lord of every area of our lives. See, God doesn't just want to be a part of your life. He wants to consume your entire life. That there wouldn't be any area of your life that doesn't belong to him. And that we would burn not just for the things of God, but for God himself. See, coming to revival prayer is amazing. And you should keep doing that. Responding to altars is amazing, and we need to do that, and that's important. But if that's it, if that's what our Christianity amounts to, we've missed the point. Because we're called to burn for God himself. And to live consumed means to live without allowing anything, any behavior, any attitude, to be in our lives that isn't fully consumed by God, so that every area belongs to him. See, if I can give you an example of what I'm talking about, there was a time in my life where I'd accepted God as my Lord and Savior, but if I was honest, I hadn't let every area be consumed by him. I hadn't let every area be consumed by his fire. And for me, it was in the area of my friendships and my relationships. I grew up in an incredible home. My parents loved the Lord. I had like the best Christian upbringing you could ever hope for. But there was a time, probably in my late teen years, into my early young adult years, where I didn't walk away from the Lord as much as I kind of stopped prioritizing him. I kind of came to church every Sunday. I did all the right routines, even for a season I was serving in youth ministry. But if I wasn't honest, I wasn't really living for the Lord. You know, my weekends didn't look like my weekdays. And I remember a time where I came to the altar and God just convicted me, and I had this moment where I was like, okay, God, I need to recommit my life to you. I need to take this walk with you seriously. And all was well until I felt the voice of the Lord tell my heart that, hey, I want you to honor me in your relationships. I want you to honor me in your friendships. And see, that's amazing in theory, but my reality was this: I didn't really have that many friends in church. I had a bunch of friends in church growing up, but unfortunately they kind of all left the church for different reasons. And all my good mates, they were in school or uni. And they were awesome guys, and I'm still friends with a lot of them today, but they were kind of the guys that I spent my weekend with. They were the guys that I went on holidays with. They were the guys I went down south with. And so they were kind of my good mates. And I remember the Lord saying, hey, I want you to put me first in your relationships. I want you to have people in your life that know me as your best mates. And I remember, God, I just don't have those people in my life. And if I stop hanging out with my other mates, who do I have? But I remember the Lord telling me, hey, I want you to let me consume that part of my life. I want you to hand your relationships to me. And can I tell you, God was so faithful. As I prioritized getting to know people at church, as I prioritized forming friendships within the body of Christ, God blessed me. He brought brothers around me. But see, even though God is a consuming fire, sometimes we often don't live like it. And that was a journey for me. What we do is we kind of live how I was living. where we live a life of partial surrender. We have a heart that says, God, you can have most of my life, but there are still parts that I want to keep for myself. You know, you can have my Sunday mornings, but not my finances. You can have my spirit, but not my sexuality. You can have my mind, but not my plans. You can have my ministry, but not my career. You can have my talent, but not my time. We know that God is an all-consuming fire, but we're selective about which parts we allow Him to consume. But today, I really feel this prophetic phrase on my heart as I was preparing for this morning. And it's that the time for partial surrender is over and the time to be fully consumed is here. The time for partial surrender is over and the time to be fully consumed is here, and not just consumed by anything, but consumed by the fire of God. See, fire is significant in the Word of God. It's used in the Bible to reveal different aspects of God. It's used to reveal his nature and guidance. See, the Israelites were led by fire in the wilderness. It's used to reveal his righteous judgment, his purification, his transformation, his holiness. And so when Scripture says that God is a consuming fire, what it means is that we're to be consumed by the Spirit of God. That we want everything he is to consume everything that we are. And so today what I want to do is talk about what it is to be consumed by fire and why it's not just important to God, but important for us. Is that okay for Kennedy? Amen. Well, if you're taking notes this morning, my first point is this. Fire consumes everything. Fire consumes everything. Our verse in Hebrews says, therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. You know, I find it so interesting that it doesn't say he can be a consuming fire. It doesn't say he sometimes is a consuming fire. It doesn't say he wants to be a consuming fire. It says our God is a consuming fire. That to know God is to be fully consumed by him. He's not interested in having a part of your life. He wants to consume everything about you. He wants to consume your family, the way you do relationships, the way you do finances, your attitudes, your heart, your mind, your body, your spirit, your friendships, your career. The Lord is a consuming fire and he wants to consume every part of your life. And so the question I ask you this morning, Port Kennedy, is this: will you let him? Will you let him? See, in the book of Mark, we find a story that illustrates what I think so many of us experience. Someone who wants to seek the heart of God, who wants to be consumed, that wants to fully know him, but comes undone when it comes to submitting every area of their life to him. And so we pick up this story in Mark 10, verses 17 to 27. And it says, as he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up to him and knelt before him and asked him, good teacher, what shall I do so I may inherit eternal life? But Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your mother and father. And he said to him, teacher, I've kept all these things from my youth. Looking at him, Jesus showed love to him and said, one thing you lack. One thing you lack. Go and sell all you possess and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. But he was deeply dismayed by these words, and he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much wealth. You know, what I find so interesting about this passage is that on the surface, we see a man that wants to be consumed by fire. He wants to submit his life to Christ. He wants to serve God. He wants eternal life. He wants to follow all the commandments. And he says, Jesus, I've done everything right. In his mind, he's done everything possible to be and live a life that's fully consumed by God. And so he goes up to Jesus and he says, hey, what must I do? What must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do to be a follower of you? And Jesus responds, one thing you lack. One thing you lack. Go and sell all you possess and give it to the poor. In other words, there's one area of your life that you have not allowed me to consume. Let me have it. Let me have it. See, Jesus asked him to sell everything and follow him because he knew that there was an area he was unwilling to let be consumed by the fire of God. And for him, it was his finances. His heart was, God, I want to follow your commandments and I want to inherit eternal life. But when push came to shove, he was unwilling to let every area of his life be consumed. And the scripture says, but he was deeply dismayed by these words and he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. See, for this young ruler, it was his finances, his wealth. He wasn't willing to let it be offered to God or consumed by God. And God will never consume an area of your life that you don't offer up. See, if God is going to be an all-consuming fire in our life, we have to be a people that are willing to put every area of our lives on the altar to be burnt up. And I want to ask you this morning, are you willing to let God consume every area of your life with this fire? Are you willing to say, Lord, you can have everything? There's not one part of my life I'm going to hold back from you. I know your kingdom is unshakable. I give you my reverence. I give you my awe. That's what Hebrews 12 tells us. I give you my worship and I give you my life to consume with fire. See, God is an all-consuming fire, but it's up to you whether you'll allow him to consume you. And my heart is that we'd be a people who offer God every single part of our lives. When Jesus asked for an heir of our lives, that we wouldn't walk away disappointed like the rich young ruler. But we would place ourselves on the altar as living sacrifices to God and be ready for his all-consuming fire to consume us. See, being consumed by fire looks like tithing because you don't own your finances, God consumes them. Being consumed by fire looks like walking in purity because you don't own your sexuality, God consumes it. It looks like walking in forgiveness because you don't own your relationships, God consumes them. It looks like prioritizing the house of God every week because you don't own your time, God consumes it. It looks like seeking God's plan for your life because you don't own your future, God consumes it. Being consumed by fire means placing yourself on the altar every day in every area so God would consume you with his fire. Fire consumes everything. My second point this morning is this: fire purifies. Fire purifies. We've talked about how in our passage, Hebrews 12, verses 28 to 29, our God is an all-consuming fire. And one of the key characteristics of fire is this: fire actually purifies. Fire purifies. And all throughout the Bible, the fire of God is used to describe how we're purified and refined to be made more like Jesus. In Zechariah 13, verse 9, it says, "This third I will put into the fire. I will refine them like silver and test them like gold. They will call on my name and I will answer them. I will say, they are my people. And they will say, the Lord is our God." In other words, God recognizes who his people are by those who are willing to let themselves be refined. He recognizes who his people are by those who let themselves be consumed by his fire. And we read here this passage in the book of Zechariah where God is talking about purifying his people, refining his people. And see, what God is saying here is that being consumed by fire is necessary not just to burn for Jesus, but to rid ourselves of things that don't please the heart of God. Part of being consumed is being refined. See, fire gets rid of impurities and things that aren't real, not solid, not desirable. And when we're consumed by the fire of God, we aren't just set alight. We're changed. We're changed. I don't know about you, but I'm not the finished article. I love Jesus, but I know there are things in me that need refining. There are things in me that need cutting off. There are things in me that need reorientation. And I want to make it super clear. I'm not at all talking about salvation. When you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, your place in heaven is assured. It's by faith and faith alone. But if I'm going to fully step into the life that God has for me and has called me to, I need to be made holy and refined by his fire. See, once something is burning, it not only looks different and smells different, its nature has fundamentally changed. The change that fire brings isn't cosmetic. It's not on the outside. The actual substance that the fire has burnt has changed. You know, when we burn a piece of firewood, it's not just firewood. It's now coal or ash. The change in the piece of wood, it's not surface level. It's very makeup. Its chemical structure has changed. And when we position ourselves to be consumed by the fire of God, we're not just changed on the outside. We're made holy on the inside. See, in the passage that we just read about in Zechariah, we see this analogy about heating gold and heating silver so that the impurities can be separated from the valuable. See, as metals are superheated in fire, the waste and the imperfections are burned away, and what's left is pure. It's valuable. And what's interesting for me is that what was pure and what was valuable was there all along. It just took the refining fire of God to reveal it. And God does the same thing in our lives. When we allow ourselves to be consumed by His fire, when we submit every area into His hands, He begins to remove the brokenness. He begins to remove the sinfulness. He begins to remove the worldly ways, the mindsets, the attitudes. He purifies us with His fire so we become more like Him. And you know, so often we can view fire as destructive or dangerous, but in actual fact, the consuming fire of God is one of the most life-giving, rejuvenating, and purifying things we could ever experience. You know, I'm a church kid. I was born in Pentecostal church. I grew up in church. I can count on probably two hands the amount of Sundays I missed at church growing up as a kid. I had incredible parents. But what that can do, and if you're a church kid in this place, you might relate, is it can come with a sense of, I've seen it all before. I've heard it all before. I've heard every sermon. I've sung every song. I've responded to every altar call. I've gone to every prayer meeting. That there's no verse. There's no passage. There's no idea. I've heard it all before. Has anyone in here a church kid and kind of felt that way before? Like I've kind of heard everything there is to hear. Like, God, you can take me now because I'm done. Like I've heard it all. Every bit of the Bible has been preached to me. But if I'm honest, that was my attitude. And as a youth kid, if I'm honest, I struggled with that pride of like, fantastic preaching, but I know this. I've heard this. Now, I probably wasn't living it, but I definitely heard it. You know, I've heard what you're talking about. I've heard about sin. I've heard about holiness. I've heard about forgiveness. I've heard about repentance. I've heard about love and faith and hope. And there's just nothing new under the sun for me. But I had that attitude. And I remember so clearly at a summer camp, responding to an altar call and God just convicting me, the fire of God falling on me and just asking me, is there really nothing else you want to know about me? Have you really heard everything about me? And by the grace of God, that attitude was refined. That attitude was burnt off in His presence. But it took me being convicted in the presence of God for Him to remove that attitude from me. And you know, that may be my story, but church, every single one of us needs to be purified. Every single one of us has things in our lives that need to go. Because when we're consumed by the fire of God, that's where lust is burnt off. That's where greed is burnt off. That's where bitterness is gone. That's where pride goes. That's where shame goes. That's where familiarity goes. That's where bad attitudes goes. The all-consuming fire of God refines us so that we're purified. You know, if we're going to see revival in our communities, in our families, in our schools, in our workplaces, we have to be consumed by the purifying fire of God. Because purification leads to holiness, and holiness leads to revival. Moves of God do not come without purification. Psalm 24, verses 3 to 4 says, "Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in His holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart." See, purification by the consuming fire of God is not an optional extra for Christians. Each and every believer is called to be purified and refined. Because to know Jesus, to ascend the hill of the Lord, to stand in His holy place, we need to be purified by fire. You know, revival, it's not just extended worship sets and altar calls. Although those things are amazing. We're going to have an altar call this morning and I believe God's going to touch you. But revival, real revival, is the heart of a people repenting and being refined so that the purification of themselves brings glory to God. See, the purifying fire of God refines us. Fire purifies. My last point this morning is this. Fires are seen and felt. Fires are seen and felt. See, fires aren't subtle. How many know that fires can be seen and felt by those around them? And I've got first-hand experience with this situation. I remember when I was around 14 years old, I had a mate who lived in Forestfield, and he had like 8 acres in Forestfield, and so it was awesome. He had like this really awesome house. I had like a pool that ran through the house, and then at the back, they had 8 acres that they owned, and we used to go there for sleepovers and have a great time there, and one year we were 14 years old and we were like, we asked my mate's dad, hey, can we go like to the back, to the bush area and just hang out there? And he was like, yeah, you can, just no fires. No, don't, because he kind of overheard us. And I'm not, this was really bad. This is not a good thing. But we were like, in our minds, we heard no fires that he knows about. And so we went right to the back at the 8-acre property. And, you know, we were real silly. We bought like deodorant cans. We'd set it all up. And we went to the back of his property and we had ourselves a little bonfire. The only problem was it wasn't a little bonfire. It turned into a big bonfire. And there was this dead tree that was next to the fire. And it kind of just went up. Now, and it wasn't some massive oak tree. I don't want you to think that we like burnt down Forestfield. But it was about this tall. And it caught fire. But guess who saw it? My mate's dad. And he came coming in on the quarterback and he was like, what are you doing? And we were kind of like, we didn't think you could see. It was, this is far away. See, fires can be seen and felt and smelt. And see, just how the fire in that field could be seen by others, we were caught by my mate's dad. People who are consumed by the fire of God can be seen by the world around them. And we need to be consumed by the fire of God, not just for ourselves, but for the world around us. The world needs to see a people of God who are consumed with this fire. In Matthew 5, verse 13 to 20, it says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. See, we're called to be salt and light in the world. And the thing about salt and light is this, they immediately change the environment they enter. When you add salt to food, you can taste it straight away. When you add light to a dark room, you can see it straight away. And we as the people of God are called to impact the world for Jesus, to win the world for Jesus. But the thing is, church, you can't be salt without being consumed by fire. You can't be light without being consumed by fire, because fire is what makes us different. And a life that's fully consumed by God is actually what makes us different to the world. And you know, for me, I had an area in my life where I was kind of hiding my salt and hiding my light. You know, I have the absolute privilege of being the Myrie youth pastor, and that's what I do now. I guess you'd say for a living. It's weird to say. But it's always an odd thing to think about that. But and band, if you join me, that'd be amazing. But I used to be a tax accountant. And why are you laughing at that for? Who said oh? I understand. I'm with you there. I genuinely feel like I was delivered of that. And no, please, if you're a tax accountant in this place, we need you. I just don't want it for myself. But I was a tax accountant. And I had this thing, you know, as I was growing up, I went to uni and studied finance and accounting and all that sort of stuff. And I was working as a corporate tax accountant. And I had this mindset that was like, okay, I just want to go to my job, put my head down, do my work, and get out of there. Has anyone ever had that like attitude at work before? You're like, God, I know I'm called to be a witness, but not today. Not in this area. I'm going in, I'm keeping my head down. They don't need to know about me. They can know my name, and that's it. If they ask me what I'm doing on a Sunday, I'll say relaxing. But that was kind of my attitude. And it wasn't because I didn't want them to know I was a Christian. It was honestly just because I wasn't consumed in that area. I didn't have a conviction that that area of my life needed to shine for Jesus. And I wasn't salt and light in my workplace. I wasn't consumed by the fire of God. See, we need to be consumed by God's fire if we want to see people come to know Jesus. And church, I want to let you know today that the world isn't waiting for a people that look just like them. Because the people that are consumed by fire look different. A people that are consumed by fire love different. A people that are consumed by fire live different. A people that are consumed by fire sound different. Because the thing about fire is this, it cannot be hidden. They're not subtle. They illuminate the world around them. And if there was a fire in this room right now, you wouldn't need someone to point it out to you. Your eyes would be drawn to it. You'd smell it. You'd feel its heat. In fact, if a fire started in this room right now, your attention would turn from me to the fire. And you'd want to know, why is there a fire there? How did that fire get there? What actually is burning? And it's no different when we have the fire of God in our lives.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. If you want to know more about our campus, you can go to nationschurch.com/au/Port Kennedy.